Israel launches a second airstrike on Syria. Will it have repercussions for Tel Aviv? Insurgents attack the grave of a Muslim figure revered by both Shias and Sunnis and threaten more attacks. Is there an effort to turn the Syrian conflict into a sectarian regional battle? I'm Huma Lezgi, and this is The Debate.
Tel Aviv has confirmed conducting an airstrike against Syria on Friday, claiming it targeted an arms shipment bound for the Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah. This is not the first time Israel hits targets inside the Arab country. In February 2013, Israeli jets struck another Syrian target. At the time, Tel Aviv also claimed that the target had been a weapons convoy for Hezbollah. The claim turned out to be false when Damascus published pictures of a research facility destroyed by Israeli jets. So far, Israel's unilateral assaults against other countries have provoked no protest from its Western backers.
I think that what Israel calls into question is the very existence of international law. That is, if Israel feels free to bomb neighboring countries, and the United States continues to back Israel, as if Israel's security is somehow written into the United States Constitution.
Israel's attack on Syria comes as fresh news broke about another grave desecration at the hands of insurgents in Syria.
Foreign-backed militants affiliated to the so-called Al-Nusra Front, which is Al-Qaeda-linked group, dug the grave of Hujr bin Adi's shrine over there in Adra al-Balad in Damascus countryside, a very important and highly respected Muslim figure.
Digging up the grave of Hujr ibn Udayy, a close companion of Prophet Muhammad and the first Shia Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, shows that insurgents in Syria intend to observe no red line. Many Sunnis also have great respect for Hujr ibn Udayy.
This proves once again that those who did this act, mainly those Al-Nusra Front militants, it's impossible that those relate to Islam.
Syria has been the target of increased raids in recent weeks, from explosions in Damascus to Israel's air raid, as well as sacrilegious acts by foreign-backed extremists. The attacks come at a time when the Syrian army is making gains on the ground and flushing out more militants from areas near Damascus, Homs, and Aleppo. So it seems that Syria's enemies, including Israel and Takfiri militants, are trying to wreak more havoc, whether by airstrikes or by stirring religious and sectarian sentiments in the country and the whole region, to pave the way for a bigger confrontation.
The timing is quite significant, especially it comes after the very important speech which was made by Hezbollah's leader, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, in which Sayyid Hassan cautioned that Hezbollah, or what he called Syria's real friends, in a reference to Hezbollah, Iran and Russia, would not allow Syria to fall into the hands of the US, Israel or the Takfiris, the Al-Qaeda affiliates.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is political analyst Mr. Sukhand Chandan. We're also expecting a guest from Tripoli, Salafist cleric Sheikh Omar Bakri. Now, my first question I'll put to our guest in London, Mr. Chandan. Now, Israel has said, Mr. Chandan, that its attacks on Syria are meant to stop weapons from reaching Hezbollah. One question would be, why should Syria send its missiles to Hezbollah when it's engaged in a war?
Good evening, sister. Exactly. Perhaps it's unlikely that in a context where the Syrian Arab Republic is confronting this imperialist and Zionist conspiracy using imperialism, Zionism's death squads through its allies in the Gulf and Turkey, etc., against a sovereign and resistant frontline state of the global south, which is the Syrian Arab Republic. Why would Assad and his government be in this particular context supplying weaponry to Hezbollah? Is perhaps unlikely, but perhaps they're still doing it. So that's really a gray area which we cannot really qualify right now. But the message which the West and its main satellite state in the region, that's the white settler state of Israel, the message it's sending to the Syrian patriots and revolutionaries, that is the people supporting the Syrian government, are several. One, that it can intervene with impunity by bombing a sovereign resistant frontline state of the global south, and imperialism will stay silent and actually give it complicit and obvious support. Two, that it can bomb an Arab and Muslim country, and because of one of the greatest coconut Uncle Tom operations, which is the Arab Sting, because of that, there will be no protest across the region. Actually, there will be silence, and in that silence is complicity with this act. And thirdly, the white settler state, it's saying that in any future confrontation again with the Lebanese resistance movement, which is Hezbollah, that it has the capability of blocking off potentially a fundamental supply route to the Lebanese resistance. We have to remember that Saeed Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Lebanese Hezbollah, said that the Syrian Arab Republic was fundamental to Hezbollah's victory against the white settler Zionist state and its imperialist backers in the July war in 2006.
Referring to the role that Israel is right now playing in Syria, you said there the message that it's trying to give to those, you said, who are supporting the Bashar Assad government. But let's just bring in Mr. Bakri now, Sheikh Omar Bakri, Salafist cleric with us from Tripoli. Mr. Bakri, the Israelis have said that they would strike at any target that proves to be a means to transfer weapons to Hezbollah or other terrorist groups. Now, who are these other terrorist groups? Analysts have been saying they're the same groups who are benefiting from the funds and weapons reaching insurgents fighting the Assad government with the blessing of Israel. So, for instance, they're asking why Israel isn't, for instance, attacking any of the weapons of the Al-Nusra Front, for instance, or the FSA, if they are anti-Israel.
Obviously, the involvement of Israeli forces now, it is will jeopardize everything, because in the eyes of the Islamists who are the Salafists, they are really anti-Israel, anti-America, and even they are anti the Frisian armies to a certain extent. So now there is another group who are Salafists maybe and are really Islamists who are pro-Frisian armies, and maybe they are really, both of them are functions against the Bashar regime. But if I want to speak to you as an expert on the Salafi groups in particular, if Israel involves itself in any form of fight against them, they are going to consider that is that they are coming to support Hezbollah, because that is really the involvement now is a direct support to Hezbollah. That was how we going to, they're going to read it. Unfortunately, I think for the benefit of the state of Israel is to confuse the matters, because their own the safety of Bashar al-Assad regime is safety of Israel. That's what that the way we see it now. Having I said that, you see, at the same time, they are really considered Hezbollah to be enemy, and that is where the confusion got to happen. However, Hezbollah involvement in Syria, it is a crime. Should not be involved themselves, unfortunately, and they considering everybody fight against Bashar. He is pro-Israel, pro-America, and even they say they are takfiris. They are not going to permit, as they say, the takfiris in the region. Whom they mean about takfiris? If they want to declare war against takfiris, and they mean the Qaeda or the Salafis, I think they put themselves in big trouble. You know, somebody, he wants to...
Well, you refer there to the takfiris, Mr. Bakri. Sorry for stopping you. I just want to bring in a comment that's been posted on our Facebook page by one of the viewers, and I'll come back with a question related to that. We'll be back. Let's take a look now.
Those Wahhabis couldn't call for jihad against Israel over the past 30 years, and now they are calling for it against Muslims.
Well, that's a sentiment that's been raised a lot by a lot of our viewers on our Facebook page. Just remaining with Mr. Bakri, and I'll go back to Mr. Chandon in London. Mr. Bakri, the question that a lot of people are asking is, they haven't been calling for jihad against Israel, considering the situation among Palestinians, but now they are calling for it against Muslims, that viewer telling us. And that in specific reference to the desecrations that we've been seeing take place, to the attacks on holy shrines, shrines that are regarded as respected and sacred to Muslims.
I don't know who told you that is Bashar al-Assad and his government and his Nusayri Alawis are Muslims. I don't know who told you that. I think you are mistaken. Even Khomeini, Imam Khomeini, he declared Alawis as a kafir sect. So you are speaking about a political alliance between Hezbollah and Bashar and the Alawis. This one. Second, even Saudi Arabia regimes who rule by kufr, we consider them to be apostate kafirs. So as far as the Salafi jihadist is concerned, anybody ruled by different than what Allah has revealed are the kafir. Therefore, there is no scenario like this. Now, as far as jihad against the enemy, against Israel, I think the Islamists and the jihadists always fight against Israel before even the existence of Hezbollah. Hamas are Sunnis anyway. Assami movement are Sunnis anyway. And the Sunnis always are fighting in a different shape and form, even as a Palestinian guerrilla. So I think, you know, by saying the Wahhabis never fight in Palestine, but the Wahhabis fought in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union, against the Russian, against the communists. They fight in Chechnya. The Wahhabis has been fighting against the Americans in Iraq, in Afghanistan.
So, Mr. Bakri, I'm afraid I've got to stop you there. We are very short in time.
The one who supported,
yes.
Right?
Yes, just bring in Mr. Chandon. I'll be back with the next question to you. Now, Mr. Chandon, I guess there, Mr. Bakri saying that we shouldn't consider the Bashar Assad government or his supporters as Muslims. First of all, tell us what you think about that comment and also what these attacks on these shrines are about, in your opinion.
Mr. Omar Bakri is a rank hypocrite, and he is a caricature promoted by the British intelligence services, media, and government. This is the same man who collaborated openly, and he stated on record that he spoke and gave information to the British intelligence services because he wanted to remain in Britain because he appreciated the health benefits of the National Health Service. So really, Mr. Omar Bakri's idea and model of struggle is that of the Libyan model, which is what? Which is what? Which is basically silence over a 6-month NATO bombing campaign against a Arab, North African, and Muslim country, and collaborating with NATO in overthrowing a resistant sovereign country of the global south and a Muslim country at that. And now, for all his just hypocritical and utterly hollow talk of jihad, we can see very clearly the de facto evidence on the ground. His comrades are fighting against a historical enemy of imperialism and the West, the modern-day Crusaders, which is the Ba'athist government of Syria. And who is coming to their help and assistance? No other than the Zionist state of Israel. So the facts are very clear for everyone who wants to see the facts, yes, and who does not want to be blinkered by the likes of Mr. Omar Bakri in Tripoli or his colleagues in the British government, yes, and in NATO generally. On the sectarian issue, the type of disgusting sectarian chat that's coming out of Mr. Omar Bakri's mouth is, again, gives you a clear indication to the sectarian agenda behind the death squad movement, to which Mr. Omar Bakri is actually assisting directly in Syria. This is the plan of imperialism, to divide, yes, and conquer and divide and ruin the Muslim world, which, yes, Mr. Omar Bakri and his brothers are facilitating very nicely, the NATO agenda, delivering the NATO agenda in
Mr.
brown
Chandon,
skin.
I'll stop you
so
there,
this
if
is
I
nothing,
may.
Nothing but a coconut operation.
Okay, I'd just like our producer to put up our comment 3 that's been posted on our Facebook page. We'll take a look at that comment related to the question I'm just going to ask, and I'll be back with the next question directed at Mr. Bakri. Let's take a listen now.
One should not be amazed, perplexed, or bewildered by the joint venture of Al-Qaeda, Israel, Turkey, USA, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, and Salafi Takfiri Wahhabi terrorists against the Syrian people. Because as the famous hadith says, Al-Kuffarun Millatun Wahida, i.e. Kufr is a single nation.
Okay, that comment by one of our Facebook viewers. I'll put this question to Mr. Bakri. Now, Mr. Bakri, militants we know have attacked the mausoleum of Hujr ibn Adi, a prominent companion or sahaba of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They destroyed his shrine, exhumed his grave, took his remains to an unknown location. And prominent Sunni scholars have counted Hujr ibn Adi, as you might know, amongst Prophet Muhammad's pious sahaba. Prophet Muhammad's wife, even Aisha bint Abi Bakr, has been documented as saying that Muawiyah, you killed Hujr and his associates. By Allah, the Prophet told me, in the ditch of Adra, I'm quoting here, 7 men will be killed due to this, all the skies, and Allah will be upset. So this is being as proof that he is considered a sacred figure, a respected figure among the Sunni and Shia alike. So what is the reason for violating religious sanctities?
First of all, you know, you get in London, he accused me to be a pitch agent. I think really it is just another pathetic and shallow comment. And he said on the record that I admitted that's completely like typical Shiism. You know, Shiism really, when they fabricate story against Sunnis and typical, you know, people like this. I'm sorry to tell you, that is not the first time we hear comment like this. Even the very people here, they call me a Syrian agent, Bashar al-Assad agent. You know, if you see that yesterday on the main front page of Al-Jamhuriyah, people who are pro-Hariri, they call me Syrian agent. Hezbollah, they call me Israeli agent. Other people call me American agent. Feel free, you know, to call those who are agents of Almighty Allah and His messengers who are Muslims. However, regarding the companions, I believe it's not the first time the Ba'ath parties of Iraq did that before, and the same thing now they're doing the Ba'ath parties of Syria. They are the people who are responsible for killing of booty, for even attacking the graves of the Sahabis, may the peace of Allah be upon him. They are the people who are committing crimes and try to attribute it to Al-Qaeda. There's no Qaeda in Syria until now. They try to attribute it to the Salafis.
So who are they, are you saying?
This fabrication is just meant to
yeah, Mr. Bakri, who are they, which you're referring to there? When you say they are trying to frame other groups, who are they, in your opinion?
Sorry?
Who are those responsible for this violation of religious sanctities? Who are those responsible, in your view?
I believe the responsible for that is the Shabiha, is the main people, Bashar al-Assad. They are the people who do that, and I'm not surprised if it's not Hezbollah, you know, involving himself in something like this, really, because after all, Hezbollah involving themselves inside Syria now. You don't want to believe that. It's up to you to take and to believe what you want, what you don't want. But the situation in Syria, I think Iran and Hezbollah, they involve themselves deeply, and that's why Nasrallah said publicly he's not going to permit the takfiris, and he covered up that made it the pro-American, pro-Israel. And we know very well Hezbollah is really at very good relationship nowadays, you know, with Israel. There's no single bullet, you know, has been really fired at Israel from the 2006. So why we are talking about try to trading with the issue of Israel? I think Hezbollah make great mistakes on involvement.
Okay, you referred there to Hezbollah, Mr. Bakri. Sorry for jumping in. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah had warned that attacks on holy shrines would carry with it grave consequences. Mr. Chandan, he was saying, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the country supporting these groups will be held responsible. Do you think that this is something that will lead to regional players getting involved, the conflict getting even more, getting rather into a sectarian aspect? And also your response to what was said there by our guest, Mr. Bakri.
Well, sister, I'd really, I think, like to kind of suggest to our colleagues at Press TV to perhaps think twice before inviting such an utter ultra-lunatic onto your show on Press TV, because the type of madness this this sorry excuse for a man is coming out with, and you know, and some, you know, and sometimes Mother Nature makes cruel mistakes, and obviously she has made one of them in the manifestation of Mr. Omar Bakri. So really, I don't really think it's actually even worth responding to him on that level, because it's just disgusting nonsense, frankly. But he did say before that it was a crime for Hezbollah getting involved in Syria in the defense of the border villages, which have Lebanese Shia villagers there who are under threat and attack by the lunatic death squads that Mr. Omar Bakri is supporting. But at the same time, Mr. Omar Bakri and his colleagues in the FSA and Jabhat Nusra and all these other nutters in Syria, frankly, are feeding into Syria all kinds of absolute criminal death squad elements throughout the Middle East, North African region, including in England. Now in England, you can go and fight against the Syrian Arab Republic and the army, and you'll be celebrated as a freedom fighter. So this once again exposes totally the marriage of convenience between Mr. Omar Bakri and his colleagues and NATO on the other hand. Okay. Even Muaz Khatib, a leader of the FSA who's trying to resign and he's unable to, even he is saying and warning to Hezbollah that imperialism and its allies in the region are stoking and facilitating a sectarian division which is going to devastate and is devastating the region.
Okay.
So this is what we're faced
with. I'm sorry for stopping you.
And all sensible people can understand the situation as it is. Sorry.
Let's take a look at the final comment Raya posted on our Facebook page. I'll be back with the concluding questions.
Recently, Israel claimed it shot down a Hezbollah drone. Said Hassan Nasrallah denied it. It is obvious the racist Zionists are desperate because their agenda in Syria is evaporating in their face. Hezbollah do not need to ship arms through a war zone. I still have my doubts. It's obvious with the defeat of the Western-backed Syrian rebels, the Syrian army will emerge more stronger. Israel will pay for its crimes one day, and that day is fast approaching.
Now, a question to Mr. Bakri. Ms. Bakri, quickly, if you can, we have here claims that when it comes to the interests of Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United States, and also the militants fighting against Bashar Assad, because their interests are shared, that they are trying to provoke a direct Western military intervention. What's your idea?
We are against any Western interventions in any Muslim land. Either we are against all those regimes existing in the Muslim land, whether the Saudi Kufr regimes or the Turkish or the Egyptians or the Syrian or the Lebanese or the Iranian. You know our views. We stand against all these regimes and we believe that any Western intervention is a crime against Islam, against Muslims. Having I said that, yes, I must admit, that is really, Syria nowadays, it has become on the eyes of the Western power as very important place, especially if the Islamists came to power, they're going to become really a catastrophe for the
okay,
state of
Okay, Mr. Bakri, I have to stop you. We are running out of time, less than a minute left. To allow both our guests to give their concluding remarks. Mr. Chandon, do you think that even if our guest there is saying that they are against Western military intervention, however, the situation is meant to create that intervention, to create the conditions for that intervention?
The lunatic criminals who make up the nutty death squads who are devastating Syria, what good have they done to any people that they've impacted? They devastate families whose sons stupidly and foolishly get themselves involved in fantasy talk about Al-Qaeda attacks in England across the West. You can see what they've done in Iraq, brought nothing but sectarian division and trauma to the Iraqi people. You've seen what they're doing and what they've done in Libya, which is ally with NATO to devastate, which is one of the most greatest nations in Africa, that's Libya. And you can see what they're doing in Syria. And you can see the utter buffoonery that's coming out of Mr. Omar Bakri's mouth. Compared to these people, the Syrian Ba'athist government was an oasis of peace and stability and respect between all the people who lived in Syria before this devastation. And as Gaddafi's Jamhuriya was an island of stability and respect between the tribes at that time. So really, these are the two alternatives that we're faced with.
Okay, I'm afraid we've run out of time. A big thank you there to political analyst Mr. Sukant Chandan in London and our guest in Tripoli, Salafist cleric Mr. Sheikh Omar Bakri. Thank you very much for staying with us on another edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lezgi, it's goodbye.